Thank you. Okay, I just want to thank you guys all for being here.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared, and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, "Mary, you're gonna have what? I can't say it good. Mary, you're gonna have a baby. You're gonna have a baby. You will call him Jesus." And then Mary was like, "I'm not gonna have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married." Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, "This donkey's fast." They tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
"We have no rooms. Literally, no rooms."
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
"The only place here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable." And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, "A new baby is getting born, who is King of the Jews."
The angel was singing,
"Glorious." And then the shepherd said, "I think we should go there and meet him." The second, I think, said, "Yeah, I agree with you." And the other said, "Yeah, me too." They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Everybody, good evening again. Again, it is so good to be here. I hope so far for you guys it's been a special night. I think it's been a pretty amazing night myself, and I really hope it's been a blessing, because we've received an amazing blessing. And so this is the time of year that we really get to kind of focus our minds onto the birth of Jesus, the single figure that changed the entire world. And so we get the opportunity to talk about him and to think about him a little bit more. Around 2,000 years ago, there was a baby born, and that baby changed everything. And all of us, from then to today, actually from the beginning of time to today, we've all been on this journey, trying to figure out, what are we doing? What are we going to do with our lives? What does our lives mean? What's our next steps? We've been on this journey, and then there was this baby that changed the trajectory of everything. Changed everything. The entire life of humanity. That baby was born, and that baby brought life with it. And so that's a little bit of what we're talking about tonight. We're actually at the end of our series called The Journey. We've been in this series for the month of December, and we've looked at various aspects of the journey to the manger. We actually started at the very beginning, at how God created man and the journey that came when Adam and Eve sinned, and then the the consequence of that sin and realizing that, in fact, sin does have consequences. And what was amazing is that in the very beginning, when we saw that sin has consequences and we saw that broken relationship between man and God, when we saw that happen, we also saw that God sacrificed, even at that very early time, that God sacrificed in order to bring Adam and Eve back into relationship with him. And so we saw that the consequence for sin is death. And that's a pretty big thing. We're reminded of that. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." We've looked at various prophecies throughout the Old Testament. Here a few weeks ago, we looked at various prophecies that led to these angelic encounters with Mary and Joseph. And we saw that last week, we saw that there would be a virgin that would give birth. And she would give birth to a son and call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's what changed everything, is because then God is with us on earth in that time. We saw over the last few weeks, we saw all of this, and we knew that because there's this angelic experience with Mary and Joseph, we know that we're in the midst of receiving hope, and that in fact, hope is coming in a manger. And so this evening, we're looking at the journey to the manger. We're going to look at the journey to the manger really quick. And it's not a small thing, right? Because we have the Israelites, and the Israelites right now, just to give a little bit of context, the Israelites are under Roman rule. They don't have any freedoms of their own to be able to enjoy life with, right? They are ruled by Roman. They are taxed, and they are ruled according to Roman law instead of according to Jewish custom. They're forced to do things that they don't really want to do, that they don't agree with, but they're forced to do it anyway. However, in the midst of this oppression that the Jewish people are experiencing, there's hope. There's hope that's coming. And this hope is coming down, and this is coming at the most perfect time in history, in all of history, showing us that God's timing is far superior to our timing. You know, and I don't know if you guys feel this, but sometimes we have a way that we would like things to go, and they don't usually go the way we always want them to go, right? But we know that God's timing is better than our timing. Let's look at the story. We're going to look at the story this evening at the time when hope came down. We're going to go to the passage that we all look at in Christmas Eve, Luke chapter 2. And join me again. It's going to be on the screen. It's in your Bible and it's on the Bible app. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Mary gave birth just like the angel said. Just the angel that spoke with Mary, just like she said, she gave birth. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which isn't exactly known for its bustling economy, right? Bethlehem is not the capital of anything. As a matter of fact, it's kind of off the beaten path, a little bit away from the capital, a little bit away from Jerusalem. And Jesus was born in what was essentially would be described today as a barn. He was born away from all of the well-to-do people. And he used a feeding trough as a bed. Jesus could have come into this world as a king, being the Son of God. He could come riding on a horse and just clamoring through town so that everybody paid attention to him. But that's not what he did. He came to town, and he was born as a baby in a manger. Jesus had been born in the most humble of ways. But that's not all. There's something really cool. And I'm hoping tonight to just bring out a couple of interesting things for you, a couple of neat things. So there's something really cool. It said that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And there's something I want you to know about those. These clothes that Jesus was wrapped in, that Jesus was wrapped in, these weren't just some random cloths that were thrown out in the laundry or thrown, you know, shop rags. That's not what this was. These are swaddling cloths. These are the cloths that shepherds would use to wrap newborn lambs in order to protect them and inspect them as they placed them in a manger, much like what Jesus was placed in. Well, those shepherds just happened to be pretty close by, right? They were just outside of Jerusalem, which is nearby to Bethlehem. And that night, something incredibly special happened to those shepherds. The shepherds that were raising the lambs that would be used for sacrifice for the sin of those in Jerusalem. Listen to this in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Isn't that cool? I don't know if you guys caught it all. I don't know if sometimes I don't even catch it all. I'm sure, you know, much like you guys, but the shepherds who were watching over the flocks to be sacrificed for sin welcomed into the world the ultimate lamb to be sacrificed for the sin of humanity. Their whole job was to find the blemish and separate from the perfect lambs. And they got to welcome Jesus. The journey to the manger is now complete. But that's not the end of the story. You see, Jesus didn't just come and be born in a manger and then that's the end of it. Jesus didn't stay in the manger. Jesus' journey was far from over. You see, after Jesus got to the manger, he began his 33-year journey to the cross. This was a long journey. And during this time, Jesus was tempted by Satan, just like Eve was, just like you and me are. However, unlike you and me, Jesus didn't sin when he was tempted. We see that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus walked through life being ridiculed. I don't know if anyone here has ever experienced that. I know that I've experienced that probably on a daily basis. But Jesus didn't walk through life not being ridiculed. In Luke chapter 8, verse 53, it says, "And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead." This is in an encounter where Jesus is bringing a little girl back. They plotted to kill him because he was a threat to their way of life. See, there was these political reasons, there were religious reasons, there were cultural reasons. They didn't quite get along with Jesus. And when I say they, I mean the ones that were kind of in charge of everything. The relationship between the Jews and the Romans was already somewhat unstable. And then you throw Jesus into the mix, and Jesus is kind of rocking the boat. He's not one to just go along with the flow, right? Even more than that, the thought of a Messiah, for those in the Jewish world, when they would think of a Messiah, they would think of somebody who was going to bring them out in a military victory. So the thought of a Messiah who would lead an uprising through Rome was very terrifying to the Jewish leaders who were kind of connected with the Roman court. It frightened them. Jesus challenged them time after time. Jesus challenged them. In Mark 3:4, it says, the result of these challenges is that they wanted him dead. That's a pretty intense challenge. That's a pretty intense relationship where Jesus is being Jesus and healing and loving and teaching, and the leaders around him want him dead. So Mark 3:6 says, the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians. These are the people that were connected with the Roman leadership. They immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This isn't a situation where there's just a few people that aren't happy with Jesus, right? This is a situation where you have a group, a large group of leaders that are plotting together to figure out how they can best kill this guy named Jesus. This guy that, remember, just came in, born in a manger, and has lived his life, and now he's teaching. After they heard his teaching, after they heard these challenges, when Jesus would challenge them in the way that they were thinking, in the way that they were living, and Jesus challenged everything that they knew, they had him arrested. They had him beaten. They had him crucified, and ultimately they had him killed. But not just them. It wasn't just the leadership that was so upset with Jesus. You see, they turned people, they turned the regular people against him, convincing others to have him killed. Luke 23, verse 21 says, but they kept shouting, crucify, crucify him. This man that was born of humble beginnings is now the one that's faced in front of everything and in front of everyone being yelled at that they should crucify him. And then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Thing is that when Jesus didn't just stay in the grave, you see that the journey to the cross led him to a grave, but he didn't stay in the grave. Matthew 28:6 says, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. See, this is not an easy journey that Jesus took from the manger to the cross. But even this isn't the end of the story. Because what started in the garden as a story in paradise with Adam and Eve being the first in all creation to walk, literally walk with God and have rule over the entire everything, what started there continued to the manger, to the cross, and ultimately to an empty tomb, now continues with those who believe. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may have eternal life. That's why all of this is there. That this is why all of this happened. The birth of Jesus happened so that you and I can partake in his eternal life. So this evening, as we reflect on his birth, as we reflect on Jesus who sacrificed of himself, first by coming down in a manger, and second by dying on the cross, as we refocus ourselves, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you to have a conversation with Jesus tonight. This is just you and God. This is just you and Jesus. Because so often, I don't know if you guys experience this, but this definitely is true of me. So often, we go through our lives and we ask when we have questions. We pray and we ask, God, give me wisdom. God, give me guidance. God, tell me what to do. And many times we cry out in pain saying, God, this really hurts. But how many times do we just say thank you? How many times do we just refocus our brains, calm our thoughts, and just reflect on the fact that Jesus was born and placed in a manger? Now, maybe you're here this evening and you would say that you speak to the Lord every day, and every day you're grateful and you're telling God, thank you. And to you, I would say, praise God, do it again tonight. Maybe you're here this evening and you would say, Pastor Billy, you know, I haven't really talked to God in a long time, and I'm not really sure he'd be up to listening to me. Or maybe you would say, you know, Pastor Billy, I do talk to God, you know, sometimes as I'm driving down the road, as I'm stressed, as I'm, you know, whatever, but I'm not really sure he's listening to me. Pastor Billy, you don't know my story. You don't know where I'm coming from, and I'm not sure if my reflecting on Jesus' birth really means anything. Well, to you, I would say, when you reflect on the fact that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary, obviously having a divine encounter, who lived his life humbly and sinlessly, when we reflect on that, and then when we realize that he did that, not just for the world, not just for the multitudes, the crowds, the whatever, but for me, when you take a moment to reflect on that, then I want you to know that absolutely the Lord wants to have that conversation with you. Absolutely the Lord wants to communicate with you and have a relationship with you so that you feel like you can cry out to him, so that you feel like you can reflect back to him his glory, so that you feel like when you're alone, like you have somebody in your corner. Because that is why Jesus took the journey to the manger. That is why Jesus left the manger, lived a sinless life, and died as a criminal on the cross, so that you and I can have a relationship with him. So this morning, I want to encourage you, before we even leave here tonight, I want to encourage you to take a moment and reflect back to God who he is to you. And be honest. Nobody else is listening, right? So just be honest. This is just you and God. Reflect back to God who he is to you. And maybe see if that's where you want him to be. I want to encourage you. Listen, we're here every Sunday morning. And so every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., we are worshiping together. We are joining together as a family. And we're walking through life together, because the reality is that you and I, we're not made to live this life alone. We need each other. That's just the reality. And so I want to encourage you tonight. We're gonna have another song here in just a moment. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to turn it over to Nathaniel. But But before you walk out of these rooms, before you go get your hot chocolate, maybe while you're in line to get your hot chocolate, before you actually walk out there, just have that conversation with the Lord and reflect back to Him His glory and who He is to you. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for everything you continue to do for us on a daily basis, Lord. Lord God, you sent us your Son to be born in the most humble way so that we can have a relationship with you. And this evening, Lord, I want to ask that you just impress upon each and every one of us here the magnitude of that relationship with you. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, if everybody would stand, we're going to close with Silent Night, verses 1, 2, and 4. And we're going to hear acapella with no music. So I don't think I'm going to hold this up to my face the whole time. All right. Silent night, holy night, all is calm. All is bright, round young virgin mother and child. Holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in silent night, holy night, shepherds at the side, glory streaming from heavenly hosting, hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, lift the God of living. Jesus, Lord, in thy word, Jesus, Lord, in thy word. Let's pray to close with this. Lord, we can't thank you enough for the journey that you made from heaven down here to earth and to the manger, and then from the manger to the cross. That journey was not necessary according to you, but because of what we did and the sin that we have in our hearts and the nature that we are, you had to do that to save us and bring us back into relationship with you. We thank you for that, and amazingly enough, the only thing that we need to return to you is our love for you and praise to you, Lord. That's amazing. The gift that you give to us, and all we need to do is accept it. And Lord, I just pray that as tonight goes on, and as we celebrate your birth tonight and tomorrow, that we would reflect on that, and that the gift that you gave us would be the reason why we are motivated to get gifts for others, to point the generosity of our hearts back to what you did for us, completely undeserving we are of that gift. So thank you for the atmosphere that Christmas brings. Like I said, we can't thank you enough for the gift and just the fellowship that we can share, especially focus around your birth and what that means for us as fallen people. We have hope, and it's through you. And, we thank you again. We pray all these things in your name. All right, you guys are dismissed to the hot chocolate.